does the Israel-Hamas war fit within biblical prophecy in 2023? The three most important things to know for tribulation. It is now 1 week since Hamas attacked Israel, and I have taken some time to gather my thoughts. I am not a scholar of biblical prophecy, yet I have read and followed many of the scholars for years, and even just over the past 5 months, I have been systematically studying through the book titled Book of Signs by Dr. David Jeremiah, which I highly recommend. He has a study version of the book published that is great for small groups, which is the one I am currently doing, and I've almost completed it with a small group. Now, I have wondered what should I share with my readers and listeners at this time, and it came to me that I need to share with you all what I have shared with my own children who are now young adults. About 9 years ago, I taught a class to teens. They were ranging from 6th grade to 10th grade. It was a class that incorporated some basic knowledge about biblical prophecy. And this is what I taught them to be the three most important things to know about biblical eschatology, or prophecies about the 7-year tribulation and end times. I realized that what I am to share with my readers and listeners are these same things. And I'm going to get to those three things in just a minute. Before I get to the three main things that you need to know for yourself to make it through any times, especially the tribulation times, I want to back up just a little bit and admit that biblical eschatology does not have a consensus on how it is to be interpreted. I can share with you a few big events that we have seen and that we should continue to watch for. Big events that are clear in the prophecy that they will happen. Okay, first, there's a prophecy related to Israel that has been fulfilled. And that is that the people of Israel would be dispersed and then become a nation again. And this happened, this prophecy was fulfilled in 1948 when Israel was made a nation again in the area of its homeland with its language and customs intact after having been dispersed over the globe for over 1,000 years. Okay, many younger adults aren't aware of this prophetic history. Israel as a nation did not exist for over 1,000 years until 1948, when after World War II, they became a nation again. So I'm not going to go into all of the history of how that happened, but if you have time to research it, it's fascinating and explains what is happening and why there is no peace over there. So what next? There are a few things to look for and watch for. The continued convergence of end time signs, which I don't have time to go over, so get David Jeremiah's book if you want to know more. But watch Israel, because based on biblical prophecy, Israel is going to expand their land. Another prophecy to look for is that there will be a peace agreement with Israel. It will be a new peace agreement or perhaps an extension of one already begun. It will be a significant peace agreement when Israel and the world finally seem to be able to take a sigh of relief that that long sought for peace has been accomplished. However, not long after that peace agreement is signed, the main broker of the peace deal with Israel will break their part of the treaty, and Israel will be invaded by a nation from its north. This is all what Daniel and Revelation and Isaiah, these are three things that pretty much all the scholars do agree are going to happen. They disagree on maybe the details of things or how something should be interpreted. But many scholars teach that Russia will likely be involved, or Turkey. Both are countries north, due north of Jerusalem. There is so much more, but those are the three key geopolitical signs to be on the watch for. One is that Israel expands its land. Two, there's a significant peace agreement with Israel. And then three, there's an invasion of Israel from the north. Now, what do we personally need to know to be prepared for anything? In my opinion, these are the three top teachings from Jesus in the Bible that I taught my own children when they were teenagers. They are now young adults regarding these prophecies. First, when Jesus returns as Messiah, we will know. No one will have to tell us. No one will have to say Messiah is here, or this person is the Messiah, or that person is Jesus. If someone has to tell you or explain to you why this person is the Messiah, then you know whoever they are referring to is not Jesus nor the Messiah. This is important to know because, according to biblical prophecy, a false world leader will arise who will be able to perform miracles and signs, and many, even the majority, will be fooled into following this false world leader who is an antichrist. Okay, Jesus taught in Matthew 24:23-27, "Then if anyone tells you, 'Look, the Messiah is here,' or 'There he is,' don't believe it." Okay, this is Jesus teaching this. "For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. See, I have warned you about this ahead of time." So if someone tells you, again, this is Jesus teaching, "Look, the Messiah is out in the desert. Don't bother to go and look." Or, "Look, he is hiding here. Don't believe it. For as lightning flashes from the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. Just as the gathering of vultures shows there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate the end is near." That is from the New Living Translation. So that's the first thing. We're going to know, no one's going to need to tell you, that Jesus has come or the Messiah is here. Second, the second thing to know is that there will be a period of severe global tribulation lasting 7 years, and there may or may not be a physical pre-tribulation rapture. All right? The worst of the tribulation will surround Israel and the Middle East, but we will be affected globally. Bible scholars are not in agreement over the rapture and whether or not it will occur physically, nor when it will occur, if it does occur. There are three main theories. One is that the church will be raptured just before the 7-year tribulation begins. That's called pre-trib. Then another is that the church is raptured in the middle of the tribulation, right before it gets really, really bad. That's a mid-trib perspective. And then there is a perspective that the church is not raptured out of the tribulation, and instead verses referring to the rapture are post-millennial or post-trib. So my own view, of course, is that I sure hope for a pre-trib physical rapture, but I plan realistically for myself. I plan for no physical rapture. Specifically, I consider that the rapture may be something that occurs within our spirits, but not physically. In other words, I think that God's people could be here physically for the tribulation, but God will pour out his spirit on us so strongly that we are strengthened in our spirits to such a degree that we will have inner peace and a deep awareness of his presence through it. And I know that those who are convinced of the pre-trib physical rapture are gasping right now. But let me tell you, there is nothing more that our enemy would want us to do is to think we are not going to be here so that we won't be prepared and we won't be able to help others. We could be. God can do anything. Yes, there is some evidence that there's a pre-trib rapture, but there's also some very well-respected scholars that don't see it that way. I personally expect it may be more of a spiritual lifting up that happens to God's people, to his church, during this time. Okay. So with all this said, the important thing to know is that in the middle of the tribulation, the Bible prophesies that the whole world will be required to take a mark. And nearly everyone alive will take the mark because they will be required to take it in order to participate in society and in order to buy or sell anything, including basic necessities and food. Most scholars have long held that the mark could be a microchip inserted either in the right hand or wrist or forehead. It is important to refuse to take this mark in your hand or forehead. By this time, things will be so bad globally that most of us will be wishing for death or for the afterlife anyway. So if you get to the point where you must take the mark or die, don't take the mark on your hand or forehead or at all. Because on the other side of death, for those who believe in Jesus, is eternal life with Christ. Here are the passages of Scripture about this. Revelation 13, 16 through 17. He, and that he is referring to the false leader, the beast, or the Antichrist. He required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Then Revelation 14, 9 through 10, then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The third thing to know is that there is only one who has promised to save us, and we can trust his promise to save us. We can trust his ability to save us, either through these tribulation times or on the other side of it, and that is our Savior, Jesus. Today is the day to accept Jesus as the Lord of your life or to recommit to Jesus. It is a free gift of salvation, and Romans 10:13 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I'm going to hang on here and explain for anyone that wants to continue to listen or to continue to read what you can do to accept Jesus and accept his gift of salvation. But for those of you who are listening who have already accepted Jesus, let me just sum up the three things to know and to teach others is that, first of all, when Jesus comes, we will know. No one will have to tell us. If someone points over or someone says, this is Jesus, this is the Messiah, they're wrong. Don't follow it. Second, there will be a 7-year tribulation. It'll be really, really bad. We'll be wishing for death. We may or may not be here. There may be a physical rapture. There may not. If we are here, there will be a world leader who will require everyone to take some kind of mark that will make it so that if you do not take the mark, you cannot participate in society, you cannot buy or sell. Don't take that mark. And then the third thing is let them know that Jesus is the one that will save us, and it is a free gift, not by works, it's by his grace and his desire and his initiative. So if you're hanging on now and you want to know, you can read on the blog post as well, how do I accept Jesus? How do I accept his free gift of salvation? And y'all, even if this is just a beginning skirmish and there's a pause button pushed on these end times events and the next ripple doesn't happen for another decade or even longer? You need Jesus for your salvation. You need Jesus so that you have assurance and peace and goodness in the rest of your days on this earth, and you have assurance that you will be with God, with Jesus, in his kingdom, spiritual kingdom, for eternity after your physical death. Here is what you need to know about how to accept Jesus. Did you know that God offers us all his gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord? Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still separated from God by sin, Christ died for us. God did this for us because he loves us and wants us to know him. He did his part to restore our relationship to him. He took the initiative. Now, he wants for each of us to individually accept what he has done for us. He wants us to first admit that God has not been first place in our lives and ask him to forgive us for our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Next, believe that Jesus died to pay for your sins. Believe that he rose again and is alive today. If you confess that Jesus is your Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is what the Bible teaches in Romans. Then accept God's free gift of salvation. It's a free gift. It cannot be earned. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, for it is by grace you are saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Finally, you invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and be the director or be the Lord of your life. John 1:12-13. To all who receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. All we need to do is to trust him to save us. All those who believe this are reborn, it says, not physically, but spiritually reborn from the will of God. So if you need to, or you're ready to accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you can pray this prayer to God right now. Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you. I want the forgiveness that you give for all my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again. And Father, I give you my life to be the leader of it and to do with it as you wish. I want Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to be with me in this life. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening. This is Sherry Peavy, the author and the voice behind these messages. I invite you to gospellifelearning.com to sign up for our monthly email newsletter if you haven't already done so. You will never miss a message, a special offer, or a free resource. Thank you again. Until next time.